This is Archer of ArcherRadio.com. Today is Wednesday, August 9th, 2006. And I know that I just recorded a show and put it out late Tuesday afternoon, and I hope that you are getting this one as well, because I know some of you have your iTunes set up to record just or download just the latest podcast. So if you missed it, there is another show from Tuesday. I know I said I wasn't going to record a show on Tuesday, but I went ahead and recorded a show anyway. So make sure you have both shows. Anyway, today we're going to talk with Remarkably Mark about Project Runway and what's been up with him lately, among other things. So let's talk with Remarkably Mark.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good, good.
It seems
I'm recovering.
Go ahead.
I'm just saying I'm recovering from my trip away and my late night return. Yeah, we haven't talked in a long time, have we?
No, we haven't. It seems like forever. What's been up with you?
Oh, lots. I went to St. Louis this for several days, and I just got back last night. I was there for the national conference for the United States Personal Chef Association.
Cool.
Every year we have a conference where the whole group gets together, and it was in St. Louis this year. That was a lot of fun. I taught a couple of classes, and had a good time meeting with people, old friends, and making new friends, and it was just a lot of fun.
Very cool, very cool. So, were you able to keep up with Project Runway?
Well, I saw Project Runway last Wednesday. Yeah, I mean, I left on Friday morning, so
okay.
Yeah, I got to see it last week. Yeah, so man, I think I called it.
You did. You definitely did.
I called
did.
It when last we. I knew someone was going to be kicked out for having contraband material.
Yeah,
I'm just so happy it was Keith, that bastard.
Yeah, he was a
stand him.
I thought he was okay because he was the one who won the first episode or the first challenge when he had never designed a dress before, and then he came up with that really cool dress. I thought that he had promise. So,
well, yeah, he's talented, but. Here's the thing, as you know from our Big Brother, from our psychological profiles of Big Brother people, I can, you know, these people. It's so interesting to see, like they don't realize how obvious it is to other people that their, you know, their psychology is just right out there for everyone to see.
Yeah.
This guy, he obviously was incredibly insecure to the point where he had to just be arrogant and brag and talk about. You know, how much better he was than everyone else. And he clearly had a flagrant disregard for the rules at every step along the way. And he even said it at the beginning of that episode. He said, you know, basically that the rules don't apply to him. He could do what he wanted, you know. And he had all these little tricks up his sleeve where he was going to try to finagle the rules. And, you know, someone who believes in that is actually really deeply insecure about their abilities because, you know, if they really were confident, they wouldn't need to do any of that.
True, very true. And it was weird because you're right, he did, I remember that after the first episode, he kept saying, oh, well, now I've won, you know, it's like I'm the best and all this, so that's true. Maybe it was time for him to go, but
yeah.
Now,
what is this year, it really is about really talented designers. I mean, there are too many really good people there for someone like that to continue to be in there.
That's very true, but now, on Wednesday's show, Angela won, didn't she? And I did not care for that thing that she designed.
Yeah, I think it's in grand Project Runway tradition. They've got to have this gadfly in there. They've got to have someone in there with very little experience and talent, but not really high level talent, be in there to sort of stir things up, and especially, you know, that people love to hate, because remember Wendy Pepper?
Yes.
From the first season, just the one that everyone loves to hate. And I think Angela is kind of like the Wendy Pepper of this season.
I think so too. But the thing is too, she has that signature little puffy things that she has to put on every single garment she makes.
Those little rosettes. I'm surprised she didn't bring one of those, a bedazzler, or what was the thing?
A bedazzler.
It predated the bedazzler. When we were kids, you know how they used to have these infomercials for this thing, and basically like it was like a pom-pom maker, right? Remember? You'd put the yarn around the little sticks, and then you'd tie it all together, and then you cut the yarn on the edges, and it made the little pom-pom.
Yes, and it pulled it like really tight in the middle. Yeah.
Yes, and it tightened it, and then you when you cut it, it made these little pom-poms with yarn. I'm surprised she hasn't been putting those on the dresses.
Oh my God, that would be terrible.
And I just keep, you know what? It's terrible. I keep getting more and more of a crush on Tim Gunn.
Yeah, I heard you mention that on your podcast. And
it's weird.
It's very weird.
The last two seasons, I never was, I mean, I always thought he was funny. You know, he was very interesting and funny and very officious and he's, you know, very neat. And but I have, sort of a crush on him this year.
It's weird. But what's that about?
Never had a daddy figure thing.
But I was going to say, what attracts you to him?
He's just he's cute. He's a really good-looking man. I mean, he's really good-looking. But aside from that, what attracts me to him is he's very officious. He knows talent, and he's very mentorly. You know,
yes, that's true. He is
very well, and he's very objective. You know, he does his role so well on that show because he's not there to be the judge, and he's not there to sort of help people along. I mean, rather not help individual people along. I mean, he's really good at critiquing, letting people know when they need a kick in the pants. And I don't know, I just respect that. Like, I think that's a really good teacher, someone who could do that. Plus, he has a great sense of humor. He doesn't take it too seriously.
Yeah, and he does do a good job of guiding them in the right direction without really telling them exactly what they should do, you know.
Right. He's very aware that those are their designs, and also they're, you know, they'll dig their own grave. But he lets them know, you know, you're maybe going down the wrong path. Do you want to rethink this, you know, from a critical eye? You know,
exactly.
It's nice to have that. If you ever are creating anything, you know, you can get very, very narrow-minded about it. You know, you can get very intent on what you think is the goal, and it's nice to have good eye and a good critical point of view to say, hey, maybe this isn't communicating the way you thought it was.
Yeah, that's true. And I also think, or I was going to say that it sounds like you might be attracted to him for different reasons than actual looks, even though you think he's good looking.
Well, of course. I mean, that's why someone that you wouldn't normally think of as a hottie, that's why you find yourself attracted to them, because, you know, they have these interesting qualities. And then plus, you know, he's rather good looking. I just, part of it was I just didn't really look. Oh, I looked at him, but I didn't really see him as attractive as he is. I mean, I'd love to see pictures of him as a younger man. He must have been really hot.
Yeah, he was probably really good looking. But do you see yourself having sex with him?
Well, it's not like I have wet dreams at night about Tim Gunn in the, you know, in the workroom at Parsons, you know, sprawled over a sewing machine with Taylor's dummies in the background. I mean, not like I haven't thought this out at all.
Well, when I heard that when I heard that on your podcast, I'm like, what is he thinking? The guy is old.
Well, hey, it could be worse. You know, there's plenty of young guys who are gross.
Oh, that's true, too. That's very true. Well, so now, what did you think about Bonnie getting kicked off this week? Was it Bonnie? Is that her name?
I'm trying to remember her name.
She's the one who's...
You know, I just like... Eh.
Yeah, she's the one who's just kind of, like, insignificant.
Yeah, exactly. That's part of, you know, part of the beginning of these shows is just like the insignificant people getting picked off, you know, little by little. And then you sort of see it's starting to shape up who are the real players, who are the real people to watch out for.
Right.
And then who are the people who are talented but who have the capacity for self-destruction, like Keith, for example. And like, I think Bradley is a good example of that. He's talented, but he doesn't have the self,
discipline.
The ability to really analyze himself, well, even to analyze himself, to see where he's going wrong and what he's doing, because the discipline is an issue. I mean, he's reliant too much on inspiration. But I think Robert Best is the best.
Robert Best is the best.
And I like Kane, but I think he is just not cultured enough. You know, he's a little too Oklahoma pageant circuit.
I was going to say, are you saying because
he's very proud of that?
Just because he's I was going to say, you're saying that. Are you saying that just because he's from the South and he sounds like that?
Of course not. No, of course not. I'm qualifying it now. I'm saying that's his context, right? That's really the entirety of his context. So he doesn't know much about sort of the grander fashion world, and I think that's going to be a problem for him as we go along, because his context is the pageant circuit, you know.
Yeah.
And he needs to broaden that, because that's not what the fashion world is about. In fact, most of the fashion world looks down on the fashion on the pageant circuit and, you know, the overdone dresses. But I think he's incredibly talented. He just needs to sort of let go of that a little bit and not let that be his identity.
Yeah, I agree.
I wouldn't say it based just on his being from the South.
I was kidding. I was just kidding. But I think the show needs to do more individual challenges so that you can see the talent of the individual people instead of these group things where the people in the group have to support the person who's the leader. I think they need more individual challenges.
Yeah. Well, but they do that as it goes along. You know, they change that around. And I guess, in the last couple of seasons, they did it once or twice, you know, with the groups, and then they did everything else was individual.
Well, they've done, like...
Who else is on your radar that you really like?
Well, I really like Robert. Was it Robert? Now, wait a minute. Which one is he?
Robert Best.
Okay. Well, who's the one with the big mole on his forehead and wears glasses?
Robert.
Okay. Then that's... Robert is the one that I really like. And I kind of am cheering
for... Do you like him because he's cute, or do you like him because of his talent?
I like him because he's cute. Isn't that terrible?
At least we're honest.
That's true. But now, at the same time, I also am going to cheer for Kane, because I would like to see him break out of that whole mold of the pageant stuff, too. Because I think he does have talent. It's just he needs to show it in other ways.
Exactly. Yeah. And he's cute, too.
Yeah, he is.
There's a lot of cuties this year.
But Kane is a little too queeny for me. I like the more straight-looking guys. But
just a little bit.
Yeah. But now, none of the women...
And then what do you think of Laura?
Well, I was going to say... Laura's
Laura Bennett, the architect?
Right. Yeah, she's the really high-fashion one. I think she's got talent, too. But none of the women are really standing out to me. Laura, I guess she'd be okay, but I just, you know, maybe it's because I'm gay. I'm looking at the men.
Exactly. You're such a queen. no, I think Laura and then the young blonde girl, the really, really pretty, soft-spoken blonde girl, I think her name is Angela?
That's not Angela.
No. Is that her name?
No, not Angela.
Oh, no, Angela's the hateful one. Yeah.
Yeah. I can't think of her name either, but she's...
But anyway, yeah, the cute blonde one.
Right.
She's very talented.
She's the one who took over with the other guy for Keith's when Keith left. Right?
Right. You're right. And they did a great job. I really thought they should have won.
Yeah, I thought they should have won, too.
Those two are really great. You
know? Although I still can't stand the guy
The judges really couldn't take into consideration... The fact that there were only two. I mean, they couldn't say, oh, well, there was only two, so therefore you win. I mean, they couldn't take that into consideration.
Right, because you can only have really one person win. But at the same time, I don't really like the guy with the tattoos on the neck. I think he's going to have some attitude eventually in one of these projects.
Well, he did at the beginning, and then I think he calmed down a little bit. But I think now that Keith is gone, he's going to take, you know, that place.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think he will, too.
As kind of the arrogant one.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, but it's, you know, it's a lot of fun.
Well, now, when are you going to catch up on Big Brother?
I'm going to try to do it either later tonight or tomorrow. I know. I feel bad that I didn't get a chance to see it, but I was, you know, I was away on Sunday.
Yeah.
And the Tuesday show just happened, so I just really haven't had a chance to watch them.
Well, there's
I don't
some
like seeing shows out of order.
Right. I know.
Spoilers, for that matter.
I did the same thing because luckily I was able to watch it when I was at my father's house over the past week. But there's some major drama going on. I think you're going to be really surprised about stuff that's happened. I mean, I'm not going to give anything away or tell anything because I know you haven't seen it. But just know that there's a lot of drama going on, especially on Tuesday's show.
Just know. Okay, great. Yeah. Now, what about some of the other podcasts that have that have been happening. Have you listened to John Ong this week?
Yes, I have. I listened to John Ong.
He had a wonderful interview, a second part of his interview with Steve Harris.
Right, right. I listened to that, and I also listened to his one right after that that he posted on Monday. So I'm all caught up on John Ong, and I really think the one on Monday was really good. He, you know, he's starting to get really reflective and thinking about things and getting really serious, and I'm liking the sign of John. I think that's really, you know, really good of him to do that.
So. John is a multifaceted whore.
You know, he was mentioned all over Wanda Wisdom's show, one of the shows last week, I think.
Yeah, he was. That's so great.
Yeah, he's so good.
And, okay, tell us about your carpet. Well, I guess you did talk about the carpet fiasco already.
I did, but I posted a show late on Tuesday afternoon giving the update. So, and then here's the thing. I'm not sure if people are going to get both shows, because you know how some people have their iTunes set to only download the latest show? If they didn't get it yesterday, then they're going to get this one the first thing today, Wednesday. So I don't know how that's going to work.
So click on manually update. And get the last show right in front of this if you haven't listened to the story about the carpet.
Exactly. And on top of that,
click on manually update.
Right. And on top of that, everyone should know that I'm also going to be posting later today the video that I was talking about with my father and I. We used the iSight and the MacBook to record a video.
The iSight.
Yeah, so that will be posted later today. So
I loved hearing the story of you and your dad, because it was interesting to hear, like, you were sort of complaining about him and everything, but we were all laughing because we're talking about, those are all stuff that the boyfriend talks about you loving, like.
I know. I thought about that thinking, oh my God, I am my father. I'm becoming my father. We're almost exactly alike.
It is the way of the world, my dear.
I know. Well, I talked on...
Go ahead.
I was going to say that I talked on Tuesday's show about visiting with my mother all day Tuesday, and it's so funny that there's parts, of course, because, you know, genetics, but there's parts of her that I'm exactly alike, and there's parts of my father I'm exactly alike. So it's just funny to see them getting older and seeing myself in them, or them in me, something like that. But anyway.
Yeah, right. We just have to hope that it's not the annoying facets of their character that we take after.
That's true, and I'm sure that someone will let me know that, like, at some point.
Yeah, it's funny because I think about that for myself, and I'm sure there are probably listeners out there who will nod their heads in agreement right now and go, yes, yes, yes. But my mother, when she gets on the phone with me, she, like, basically, she starts and then she goes she says all that she's got. It's like she's been building up all these things she needs to tell me, right? She's been thinking about all the stuff she wants to talk to me about. And it's like she goes one right after another, doesn't really give time in between for things to digest, for then the normal flow of back and forth conversation. And I'm sure that the listeners right now are saying, but that's exactly what Mark does when he's on the phone with someone.
Well, actually, my mother is exactly the same way. She will start by, she starts the conversation by asking me one question about what's going on with me. And then as soon as I give the answer, then she goes into her diatribe of her day and who she's talked to and what she's done. And she goes on and on and on. And then I never get to tell her anything else because she only asked me the one question.
Exactly.
So, well, so now that you're...
Such is the price of being a good son.
Exactly. So now that you are back, what's coming up for Remarkably Mark? What's the next show about?
Well, it's interesting. Now that I'm back, you'll notice here, if we were real quiet for a second. What don't you hear?
Oh my God, where's Steva?
There's no Steva.
Where's Steva?
He's gone. No, where? He's just... Well, Jennifer took him for the weekend while I was gone, and he's still with her. And she's going to be coming back down into the city on Thursday for a meeting. So I won't get him back until then. So I'm sort of like, you know, sans Steva for 2 days.
Oh, are you missing him?
But alas,
Yeah.
I am. It's one thing when you're away, you know, and you know you're in a hotel room or whatever. Obviously, you know it's different enough anyway. But then I'm back home, and there's no Steva in my bed to cuddle with for my little hot water bottle at night.
Oh, that's so sad.
Yeah. Aww. Yeah. But to answer your question on Remarkably Mark, I don't know. I need to do a show. I think I'm just going to talk about the weekend in St. Louis and the stuff that I did and the people I met. And I don't know. You tell me.
No,
I need ideas for shows.
No, that would be good. That would be good to hear what you did and everything that you did at St. Louis. That'll be really good.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. There's some really great people in the Association of Personal Chefs, and a lot of them have become really good friends. It's funny because, you know, we're the kind of group where we have a very, very active message board, so we chat with each other all the time throughout the year, and literally we only see each other once a year for 4 days.
Wow.
So it's a really interesting, and we share such a camaraderie because, of course, we're all in the same profession, and we have a lot of war stories that we have in common. So you get really close really fast to the people, and I'm sure it's true of a lot of organizations that are like that. But for this one, it's interesting. The woman that I interviewed today for my Remarkable Palate podcast, Mary Gunderson, she wrote a book about the Food Journal of Lewis and Clark, Recipes for an Expedition.
Oh, cool.
She made the comment that this, of all the places she ever spoke and groups and conventions she'd ever been to, she said this one really stood out for her because of the generosity of spirit of the members, that people were just, they spent the whole weekend just trying to share ideas with each other and offer support and give advice in areas that maybe other people were new at or struggling with. And she said most other professional associations are very filled with jealousy and competitiveness and
one-upsmanship,
and that wasn't the case here. And I reflected on it, and I thought, yeah, that's true. We, as an association and as an industry, we're very much like that. And I think it has a lot to do with just the career of being a chef, is that you're a nurturer, you know.
Yeah,
you're,
that's
true. You're
there
to feed people and take care of them. And so many of those wonderful, wonderful people are just, you know, really caring and sweet that way. I have a lot of friends in that group, so I can talk about them on my show.
And that's what we need during this time of people attacking each other and so forth. People, we need the camaraderie and the helping each other out. So that's actually a very good thing. But now, didn't you get some kind of, wasn't there some kind of surprise or something, some newsworthy happening at this association that you need to, or are you saving that for your show?
Yeah, I got, well, like I said, no, but didn't we talk about that a little bit at the beginning? Or did I say that on the chat? I got an award.
Yeah, we talked about it in the chat.
I got an award.
So tell us about the award.
I got an award for Marketer of the Year.
Yay!
Yeah,
congratulations.
It was very sweet of them. They gave me the award for the Marketer of the Year, and that was, you know, having to do with sort of taking marketing into the high tech area, and, you know, blogging and podcasting and trying to promote the industry in that regard. And it was really great. I was really honored for that, and I'm going to continue doing stuff like that. In fact, they want me next year to teach some classes about blogging and podcasting.
Wow.
I spoke about it a little bit during my class this year, and people were so intrigued. You know, a lot of the people who aren't very high tech, you know, they may have a website, but they don't really know much about blogging, and certainly not about podcasting. But when I started talking to them about it and about the potential, and of course, you know, the audience numbers and all of that, their ears started perking up, because of course they're thinking of it from a marketing perspective as well.
Right. Well, God, that's great.
So
congratulations.
I can't wait to see in the next year how that's going to develop. Thank you. And see how that'll develop, and see, you know, maybe we'll have just that much more great food talk out on the internet.
That's true. And you might become the expert on the podcasting blogging part of it, and getting lots of clients through the networking of your business that way.
Yeah, well, we hope so.
Yeah.
That's what, you know, that's what Culinary Podcast Network is all about. We really want to be the true podcasting place for food talk on the internet. You know, there's so many. I just went to the iTunes today, to the listing of the food shows, and we were listed as number 14, And of the 13 that are in front of us, 11 are produced by corporations or by radio stations.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing.
There were only two food podcasts that were real podcasts done by real grassroots podcasters that were in front of us in the in the listings on iTunes. I just think it's a sign of what's happening and what will continue to happen in podcasting, of people wanting to co-opt it. And there's nothing wrong with that. I think if that's what the audience wants, then they should be able to get that. It's great. I just think that it's really alarming when you see just how easy it is for established corporations to become major players in a new field and, in essence, almost squash the competition.
Yeah.
We're hoping that doesn't happen. That's why we're trying to band together as Culinary Podcast Network to say, we're true podcasters. We're really, we were here from the beginning and we're going to continue to be. And we were the first to be a podcasting network, about food.
Wow, that's great. God, that's amazing. Well, listen, we got to wrap up now. So I want to thank...
Plus, Oops. Oh, okay.
I think we have a little delay, and that's okay, but go ahead.
I know, we've had this lag all night.
I know, I'm sorry.
We've had this little Skypey lag all night.
There's something wrong with my end of it, I'm sure. But anyway, hopefully the listeners won't mind. But no, were you just going to say, make one more point?
I was just going to quickly say a thing about Q-Potters. I think that it's the same thing. I think that there is this really great community of Q-Potters who are grassroots queer casters, and... I'm really glad that there seems to be a pretty faithful group of listeners to a lot of the queer casts out there. I think that we'll support it and continue to watch it grow, and hopefully it won't be susceptible to big corporate interests coming in as well.
I completely agree, and I think that's more so for the personal or light comedy kind of podcasts like the ones we do. John Ong mentioned that too, that something about, well, he talked about the listeners, and I was gonna call his thing and agree with him that we have the best listeners ever because they're very loyal, they're very participatory.
Yes.
I just think that, and I think, I don't know if that's true in the straight world, but it seems like the queer casters have that kind of relationship with their listeners, and I'll just take this moment right now and thank all my listeners for the everything that you guys do, email, voicemails, everything, because I think it's communication is great. So
my mother thanks you, my brother thanks you, and my archer thanks you.
And on that note, I will end the show. So
I have to be silly.
Yes, you do. Now, would you let me end the show? Okay. Thank you so much for being on the show, Mark. I appreciate it very much. And I think I'll just end the show right now. So say goodbye, Mark. All right.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye. And boys and girls, thank you for listening. And I'm sorry for that lag and the delay between on Skype. We don't know what's going on there. But anyway, until next time, boys and girls, bye. Archer Radio.